Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva.
Hi, it's Kylie.
And it's Eva.
Welcome back.
Blah, blah, blah.
Master of the sound effects. Yep. How are you, Eva? What's going on for you?
Oh, I'm good. It's good to be here. It's good to see you and your beautiful face. It's good to connect with this community. Yeah, things are feeling pretty good in spring of this time of rebirth, it feels like.
Yes.
How are you? What's going on with you?
So I am great, in particular because the way my schedule works, I am done. Like I see my clients in the morning. That's when I have childcare. And then by between 1 and 2, I'm on mom duty. And for a long time, and then sometimes I work in the evening, sometimes not. And for a long time, I just kind of doing this compulsive thing of like kind of putting them in front of a show and being like, oh, like I have to finish sending this email, or I got to wrap up this project, or like kind of voxering, like doing like messaging support with a client while I was with the kids. And so like not really being in either place. And the past few weeks I've been like really intentional about like, you know, 2 to 5, you know, but really 2 until bedtime, but like, especially because then my husband comes down at 5, but like, this is a window in which you are with your kids mm-hmm. and you're not working. And it has been so
Good. Yes.
Like, you know, just same thing we always talk about, like actually choosing presents mm-hmm. turns out is really lovely. So like the other day I curled up with my son while my daughter was napping and we watched that Netflix movie. I think it's called Over the Moon.
I don't think I've heard
of it. Oh, it's so good. It's an animated movie. It's about, anyways, it's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. And so we watched that. And then like the other day I took my, but like, it was like a simple thing, but normally what I would do is like put the movie on and then like go like do something else.
Yeah. Your attention would be split, right?
Yeah. I'd be like, oh great. Now he's watching a movie so I can go like do work. But instead mm-hmm. I just sat there and watched the whole movie with him mm-hmm. and it was so fun. And like the other day when my son was napping, I took my daughter to the beach and we just like ran around in the sand. And like, again, it's just, it's the same thing we always talk about, but just like intentionally choosing presents. That's where all the magic is. Mm. And it feels really helpful to remember that. And it's been really nourishing to give myself that.
So. Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy that you shared that because I think a couple of things. One, I've even had clients actually listen to our show and then say back to me like, oh, it's helpful to hear you guys talk about the actual boundaries that you're putting up in your life. Or like when you talk about like living a more aligned life, like what does that look like? And it's like, oh, well, this is it. Like you're doing it. You're saying like hard boundary, like I'm just going to be present with my kids and kind of, you know, modeling that for other people. It's like, this is how you do it. You just kind of like see a pattern that's not working and then change it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also like that it's like, what am I trying to say? Like, cause no one has it figured out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
We're all just in process of figuring it out, and it being usually how can I choose presence.
Yeah it's true. Because and I hear what you're saying, like again, I will do the same thing too. Well, maybe I'll hang out with Adam and I'll be on like my phone or something, but ultimately I always recognize that that's actually very exhausting. Like having your attention split like mentally drains me. It doesn't actually work that well. So anyway, so I totally
because that's
you.
The thing. I actually really love my work, so when I just have separate space where like that's all I do mm-hmm. I enjoy it more than when I'm trying to sneak it in the margins of being with my kids.
Totally.
And then when I'm with my kids, anyways.
Yeah. Okay.
So how about you? That's my big, what's new. What's new with you?
What's new? So, I haven't talked about getting vaccinated yet. I got my first vax because Arizona is, I chalk it up to the fact that people who are in my age range, you know, are able to get it because there's a lot of anti-vaxxers in Arizona. So I think that benefits people who are like ready to go. So got my first shot. That felt like a true, just like you know, was unexpecting it because it's, you know,
yeah,
I didn't think it was coming so soon. So that was awesome. And I guess the other thing I want to share is me starting to, I hire someone to be part of my team. She is amazing. This is the first time I've hired people for like freelance things or to help with like small projects, but this is like a big investment in myself and my business. And first time, I mean, it's really been interesting. What I'm trying to say is it's life-changing. It's motherfucking life-changing. But I also think it's important to wait until the right time to hire help, because I think a year ago it wouldn't have worked out as well because I wouldn't have known what I needed and all of these things. So I think it's possible to hire someone too early. And I also think it's possible to hire someone too late. I think I started a little bit too late and now I'm just like, oh my God, this is like so freaking amazing. And you know, it's like, I got to practice what I preach. Cause I tell people like, it's good to invest in yourself. I invest in myself in like different kinds of ways, but you know, like I'll hire a coach, I'll like do things that are good for my health. But I was like, oh, delegating work. I was like, this is, you know, it's such a control thing. I was like, this is my business. You know, like if you're going to do it right, you do it yourself, which is very much just like a controlling thing. And I found that's I can't even explain. And you know, so you have, you know, you also have people on your team. So like you get it, but like, it just opens up a whole fucking world. I didn't know how much energy I was spending on just like really minute mundane tasks. And again, I have limited energy. So I'm just like, this is just like a game changer. Anyway, and I really did like put out a call to the universe and I was like, I'm looking for a special unicorn, and she's a special unicorn.
I love this. Yeah. And I love, so my question for you is, do you find that you are like working less or working the same amount, but only doing more things that you actually enjoy?
Oh, I think I'm working the same amount, but now I have time for more,
meaningful
things.
Yeah.
And that's cool with me. Cause I'm at a point where I'm not working all the time. And so I don't feel like, well, that's not true. Well, to answer your question, I think
you're not feeling overworked.
Yeah. I'm not feeling overworked. And so, the goal at this point wasn't to like cut down on my work hours, but, there are just some things that I think require like deeper or like higher level thinking. Like if you want to create like a course or something like that, right? Like I need like a gap of time where I could just like sit and like do that. And so that's kind of how that's been helpful. Again, and this is fairly new. We've only been working together for like, I don't know, 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah. Ooh, that's amazing. It took me like months to like, like I had to do so much. I like was drowning, and Catherine and Jimena are like so incredible. They also help us with Hello Universe, like best team ever. But I had to do so much mindset work around like actually letting myself receive help. That for a long time they were like standing in the wings, like you're gonna let us do the work, like
that's,
you know, so, and are like, they're deeply patient with me and like seriously two of my favorite people. But like, I think I needed them exactly when I hired them. And also it took me probably 4 months to like actually get into a rhythm in which like, you know,
totally. And but the way that I see it from the outside, I'm like, that worked out exactly how it was supposed to, because you hired them, it forced you to have to like do that stuff to get to get to this point now. But for me, what I've learned is like, I'm pretty good at like creating systems and being like, oh, hey, here's this system. I'm going to like lay this out and let's get to it. But I think what I need to learn, and we've talked about this a little bit, you and I need to like let go of the reins, trust other people. Like that thing that you actually said in last week's podcast about being a leader is like not needing to know everything and letting people just like bring in their own magic.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really important. And that was really helpful for me to hear. Cause I'm just like, I know that's what, like that would just make everything better for everyone.
Yeah.
So that's like a skill, I think, that I'm going to continue to cultivate.
Yeah. It's not easy, but it's very rewarding. And it's very rewarding for the person who's like has sovereignty and great ideas.
Exactly.
Who's there to like, be, it's like in a support, you know, they're in a supportive capacity.
Yeah. Like probably have like way better ideas than I do. you know, because they do this stuff.
Yes. This was a big like turning point for me, was realizing like I used to think that I was good at coming up with systems, but I actually way, way, way overcomplicate them and like confuse myself, but I like think it's a good system. And then nothing would happen because I had this like very complicated system. And like, I've done this for, you know, my whole corporate career.
Yeah.
And then Catherine would like come along and just be like, okay, I'm just gonna like take this thing that you've been sitting on, not doing anything, because you're waiting to like your like complicated weird system, and like here you go.
Totally. And I used to think
I'm not good at systems.
Yeah, exactly. It's also showing me what I'm not good at. Like, I fucking hate designing shit on Canva. I never want to design anything on Canva ever again. Like, Canva is such a great system, but like, God save me. Less beef. I don't ever have to decide on design stuff anymore because it just takes me too long. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, this was sort of a little check-in with me and you, but I wanted to, of course, introduce our amazing guest for today. She totally blew our minds. Like, I mean, she had a podcast of her own before. So like, you know that she's just so, what's the word I'm looking for? So conversational, so comfortable. Like she brought all this energy and I think schooled us on a lot of things in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. It was, I took, you know, I always jot down notes during the show in part because that's like how my brain works, but I was taking notes like for myself, like that. I was like, go back and read this, you know?
Yeah.
So Jillian shares with us about, you know, her work is all about like cyclicality. And what I loved about what she shares is like, she puts it in the context of she zooms out. It feels very macro, right? Mm-hmm. Of like this, like living in cycle with the moon and what that represents and the cycles of the seasons and like this deep spiritual connection with like these different holidays of the throughout the wheel of the year. And it just felt so, actually in a way, something that I love about you and your work and your energy is it felt like really her energy and her wisdom is like deeply, really, really spiritual and deeply rooted in the earth.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll take that as if there's something that, about her that reminds you of me, I will take that as a huge compliment because I think she does a wonderful job of just like explaining big concepts.
Yeah. In a way that felt like fun and accessible.
Yeah. I think she, like you said, she's macro, but then she like kind of gave us real life examples of like how she lives a cyclical life or like rituals that she has with her children and all of this stuff. So I thought that was,
and her story about using the moon to like heal her own relationship with her, like with her own cycle is, I think,
pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. I think, why don't I read her bio, her official bio? Cause I feel like a lot of this will make more sense in the context of once you understand a little bit more about what she does. But Jillian Balance is an intuitive life coach and spiritual mentor. She is a guidess of all things moon, cyclicality, intuition, and true self-love. The creator of True You Live event and various deeply connected coaching programs, Jillian's mission is to help women stop forcing and start flowing in life so that they can uncover the truth of who they really are.
Yeah, you're going to be, I think, really nicely lifted up by her energy and her wisdom. So enjoy.
Hello, Jillian. Welcome to Hello Universe. We are so excited to have you here.
Oh my goodness, ladies, I am just beyond. I mean, you know, we were just talking for a couple minutes before and like couldn't hit record fast enough. Yep. So I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. So here we go. As you know, the first question is, what does spirituality mean to you and how does it show up in your everyday life?
I love this. And I also love that like you give the prompting and just allow for whatever comes through your person, to be the most beautiful, authentic, lovely thing ever. So spirituality to me means being the truth of who we really are and allowing that uncovery to be a joyful and integrative and abundant journey. And for me, it shows up consistently because that's always what I'm after. It's always doing that exciting inner work that does help you to release the old baggage of things that have held you back, that help you to really participate in the transformation and embodiment of your truth. I believe that we are souls having a human experience and everything is spiritual. Everything has that energetic, deeply felt component. And when you can participate with it, it's just delicious. Like that's the good stuff in life. So for me, truth is the biggest thing that we're all after, the truth of who we are, and feeling held and seen and supported and encouraged to embody that truth. Like, that just means everything to me. And I think that that is a huge piece of what all of us are after in our own different ways, shapes, and forms. And when you can invite spirituality into that and make it a practice, a conscious practice where you're proactively seeking that, it's just that much more exciting and becomes less of like the drudgery work that sometimes it gets labeled as.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to hit you with a big question because I know that, you know, learning about your work, I know that truth is a huge theme that's like you mentioned is really important to you. But how do you know when someone is living in their truth? Or even how do you know when you're living your truth? Because I think this idea of like true self can be, it has a lot of different flavors. It can be very nebulous. It can be this like sort of like spiritual new age thing that people are like, live your truth. You know what I mean? And, and I feel like sometimes it loses its meaning. So I want to hear specifically from you, like, what does it mean to you? And how do you know when someone's kind of experiencing that?
Oh, it's such a good question. So to me, it's a feeling. And I can use myself as an example. Looking back over the course of my life, I got really good at walking into a room and quickly figuring out what my expectation was, or my perception was that other people's expectations were of me. And I would do anything I could to supersede those expectations. So it was very egoic. It was very external, validating, driven. And I could just feel that dissonance from what I actually wanted. And it's interesting because over time, once that pattern has been practiced over and over and over, we actually think the masks that we wear or the costumes that we put on to do the performances are our truth. But when it comes right down to it, when you are willing to sit with yourself in silence, in that like deep, devoted, intimate moment with yourself and ask yourself, what is it that I want? That is such a key question. Uncovering the truth of who you are requires you to look at that question and actually have the bravery to answer it, because so many of us will quickly default to what we think other people want of us. Mm-hmm. And we can feel that. And I think that it takes practice to feel that, because numbing out and getting like that like dopamine hit of other people's applause and like all the things like that can be pretty enticing for a while. Mm-hmm. But for me, there just came a point that I just couldn't do it anymore, because there was something within me that screamed in many different ways, shapes, and forms, this isn't me. This isn't my truth. And so to bring that all, like wrapping it together in a little bow, it's being willing to ask what you want and being brave enough to give it to yourself. Mm-hmm. And to honor that, and knowing that just because you do it differently than someone else doesn't mean that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. A lot of us believe that if someone does it one way and we do it another way, they must be right and we must be wrong. Mm-hmm. And so we compare ourselves to the truth that we see other people living, and we try to morph into that. So it's such a loaded answer to a very loaded question, but for me, ultimately boils down to a feeling. It's a feeling that we have. We truly do know when we are in alignment with our truth and when we're not in alignment with our truth. It's just being willing to be honest if we're not, and make the change that we want to see.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Try that one.
I love that you're pointing out how brave it is to ask what we want, and then also recognizing that asking ourselves what we want and then allowing, like, giving it to ourselves are two separate things, right? And so, because we do, you have to be cognizant, like really cognizant. And it is a bravery to ask yourself what you want, because it's like once you see that truth for yourself, you risk perpetual dissatisfaction, right? Once you recognize like, oh, these masks are actually not it, yeah. Then you're like, then you have to do something about it. So sometimes it's a lot easier to just like, oh, nothing to see here. Like, I'm totally fine with this, like, you know, draining existence I've created for myself, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So yeah, I think that's a really beautiful definition of bravery that you snuck in there among all those other beautiful definitions.
Yeah.
I remember I had this huge meltdown, breakdown, breakthrough, call it whatever you want. I was actually at a retreat, and I've had three children, and all of that is miraculous in and of itself, like the different journeys that my babies chose to come earthside. But I was in this retreat and I was physically contracting. Like I could feel myself birthing this, the version of me that I had been gestating for like the 6 months prior. The retreat was in June. And the whole first half of that year was just nasty. It was like one deep, yucky soul lesson after the other. Like we were uncovering some major uck during that time. And of course, you ladies know when we go through those tumultuous times, it's because there's freedom, there's transformation on the other side. But when you're sitting in it, it's not fun. So I was having this experience where I was recognizing just how many masks I had worn throughout the entirety of my life and understanding on a deeper level why I was wearing them, why I had chosen them, why I had chosen to abandon myself for the masks. And it was the most beautiful disaster you could have ever witnessed because, like you said, Kylie, I knew in that moment, like, okay, she's coming out. Like I can't shove her back in, like this version of me that I'm birthing. And then after she was out, it was this sweet release. But I will tell you that the whole week after that moment, I remember going and sitting out on my lawn, like on the ground, like, I don't know what to do now. Like I have had this like incredible self-awareness moment and I know that I can't go back. So now what? And it's just been such an amazing culmination of many, many events that has gotten me from then to now. But I think that that's the key, is consciously choosing ourselves and standing for ourselves, even in those moments where it feels tricky and sticky and we don't know what to do next. Because here's what, the universe is in charge. Like when we don't know what to do next, it's usually an indicator that we've been like holding on and trying to control all the things all by ourselves. And so it's in that moment of surrender and saying like, okay, apparently I can't go back and put that costume on, but I don't really know what to do now. So I'm going to need some help here and allowing that support and the magic and the miracles and all of the abundant source of love to come through and guide the way.
I'm just laughing at how many times I've been in a space where I'm like, wait, I don't know what to do next. I love what you said about when we get there, it's because maybe we've been trying to like control things for too long. But because what I've noticed is that when you don't know what to do, you have two options. Like if you try and figure it out and have a specific right answer, you will suffer. But if you actually, like you said, invite in the universe or God or ask for help or let things drop in, then like it can actually be like really fun. Yeah. It's just a totally different experience. How hard you're gripping is going to determine, I think, how difficult that transition period is going to be.
Totally. And one really excellent indicator of how hard you're gripping is how full you keep your schedule. Right? Like, are you allowing white space for the universe to come in and dazzle you with magic that you couldn't have come up with in your human capacity? I know for me, that's a biggie. When I feel myself overtaxed, overscheduled, and just like, everything's a lot. Like, you know, that feeling of like, this is a lot. Yes. There's a lot going on right now. It's because I'm trying to control too much and I'm not leaving any of that space for the universe to come in and work her magic. So that's, I don't know, some of your listeners may identify with that a lot because, and I like having actual examples of like, okay, so tell me where control shows up. Like right there, there's a great example for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Whenever I'm like the classic, like over scheduled, that's been a big part of my journey over the past year. And for me, it's control. And it's also like this really strong urge to like prove to some part of myself that I'm enough. Right. Yeah. Cause it's like, see, of course this is going to work because I'm doing everything. Of course people love me because I'm going everywhere. Of course, like, of course I'm enough because like, look how full my schedule is. And then also the part of me that's like, also, I'm just like running as fast as possible from whatever is sitting in the quiet moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you're exhausted and you fall flat on your face. And then you can shame yourself for falling flat on your face because you should be working, right? It's like this perpetual cycle that we maliciously create for ourselves when really we as women are actually meant to be cyclical beings. We are, it's not we're meant to be, we are, we're cyclical beings. We have this feminine cycle that helps us to sync up with Mama Moon, with Mother Nature. Cyclicality shows up everywhere. And Kylie, that's been a huge part of my journey too, because I was the epitome of the person that was like, go, 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 I'll sleep when I'm dead. How much more can I light at both ends of this candle, right? Like, until I realized two things. I still don't have what I actually want right now. So it's like that, like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I had this like breakthrough moment of like, I'm working really, really, really hard. I can't stay up any later. I can't wake up any earlier. And I actually don't have what I want. And then also it was this realization of like, and I can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't sacrifice myself anymore. So huge part of my healing, my journey, what I teach now, and it just means so much to me, is honoring that natural inclination that we have to both go and do the thing and then be and rest and rejuvenate and allow for that to be a never ending process, a never ending cycle for us, because that's actually how we're wired anyway. Right.
Or I would even say a moment by moment process is kind of how I think about it, because it's a constant being aware of like your current experience and how you're feeling. So, okay, this brings us, I think, really nicely into something that I really want to talk to you about, which is like seasonal cycles. Mm-hmm. And I think specifically, I'm curious about your experience because you have three young kids and you run your own business.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Are you able to like create this white space that you talk about, right? How do you live cyclically? And if you could even just maybe break down, I mean, let's start at the beginning. What does that even mean, right?
Yeah.
We've had another guest on the show before speak briefly on this, but I love this topic so much that I don't think we could ever get enough of it. So maybe starting there and then like how it shows up in your own life.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. We could go like 10,000 different ways with this. So you guide me if I'm going one way and you're like, let's like steer back over here. Cyclicality is the natural flow of energy that is available to us. It's happening within our bodies. It's happening within Mother Nature. And remember that everything happening external is a mirror for what's going on internally. And what we see externally, it really reveals to us how we're feeling, where we get to course correct, where we get to celebrate for our internal journey. So we as women have our female cycle that is 28 days. Not so coincidentally, so is the moon cycle. And that was my first step in this journey. Very long story short, I went through the IUI process, which is the stage right before IVF, to have my first two sons. I didn't have a natural period. I was told it was never going to come. A doctor looked at me and said, we can either figure out why you don't have a period or we can get you pregnant. I didn't care at the time why I didn't have a period. I wanted babies. So by the grace of the goddess, the universe, God, and modern day technology and science, I conceived and had two beautiful, amazing babies. And I was so, so grateful for that. When my middle guy, so spoiler alert, there was a third and that was a different story. So when my middle guy was about a year old, I remember walking into my office that I'm sitting in right now. We use this as an exercise room sometime. My husband was about to do a workout and I was so bloated. I looked 5 months pregnant. I was not, I had had a baby a year ago. And I looked at him and I just lost it. I said, and I finally admitted it. He said, I feel so broken. I feel broken. I didn't have a natural period for 14 years. That was actually something that I utilized to my advantage for a long time, right? Because I didn't have to slow down because I didn't have a period. Periods were for the week. Slowing down is for the week, right? So all of this played into what I believed cognitively. And I don't know if it was the chicken or the egg, but it all really was helpful for, you know, it served me that I didn't have to slow down, which really solidified the belief that slowing down was for the weak. Mm-hmm. So I came in, said to my husband, I feel broken. Why don't I get a period? Now I want to know. And so I started doing a lot of internal work. I brought in external support. I brought in naturopaths. I brought in chiropractic care, physical therapy, and started working with the moon cycle. This is when I discovered the moon cycle, because I wanted to understand what living a life in flow, this thing that like you hear like esoterically thrown around out there, but mm-hmm. I had never experienced like what that could ever possibly be like. So started doing a lot of physical work as well as internal work. And what I did at the time, because I didn't have a period within which to mark and track my cycle, I started living according to the energies of the moon cycle. I started breaking down and learning about how, we have waxing and waning phases. I follow 8 phases of the moon cycle. So there are waxing and waning phases. And so it took everything I had to learn how to incorporate slowing down into my natural way of living on a monthly basis. And it changed so much for me, because I started hearing that intuition, right? I started feeling those feelings of what truth really meant for me. And then I started acting from that place of rejuvenation and inspiration that only comes when we allow ourselves to open up and receive it. So I did get a period. Go ahead, Kylie, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just love what you're sharing so much, because one of my, one of the like places of resistance that comes up for me around cyclicality, one I will totally own, is like an attachment to busyness, right? Like just if I'm transparent with myself. But the other is this piece of like, you know, we now know, we didn't unfortunately acknowledge this for a long time, but we now know that like being a woman and having like a certain set of internal organs are not related to each other, right? And so I love what you're sharing about that. Your journey started with the moon, and because that feels so beautifully accessible to all of us. And I'm actually kind of tearing up thinking about this, because I think there's a gift of accessibility that you're sharing that I think makes this magic feel really inclusive rather than exclusive. And that
love that
feels like really important medicine. So
I love that. And thank you for pointing that out, because we often try to find the answers in other people, right? Mm. We think that other people hold the key to the kingdom. And I'm here to tell you that that's actually not true. It's all within you. And we have natural resources already available to us all that we can tap into with our own experience and let her guide. Because I mean, the moon is representative of our emotions. She's representative of the goddess. Like this is quite literally a spotlight in the universe that's like beaming down on us and has different energies that go with each of her phases, very specific energies. So, you know, it's the first quarter moon and the third quarter moon, both go phases, both waxing phases, but that each of those has their own different energy to them. So it's so powerful to learn the little nuances.
Yeah. So this is actually what I kind of want to get into as well, because I think this is really interesting. So where do you suggest people start if they want to start living in like in sync with the moon?
Yeah.
And I, to better understand, so are you saying, do you feel like once you started to understand the cycles of the moon that you could see how you were naturally in sync with it?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
I guess I'm just curious like how that works.
Yes, absolutely. So a great place to start is, honestly, you could start today, wherever the moon is right now. What I recommend is track it. But I'm one of those like that's like, I'm so busy, I don't have time to track anything else. So like I automatically feel people's resistance when I say the word track it. No, I want you to track 2 things. Where is the moon and how do you feel? And I don't need a whole like Shakespearean prose soliloquy of how you feel, like 3 words of how you feel that day to help you over time recognize like, okay, in this moon cycle, in this moon phase, isn't it interesting that I felt super energetic and super alive for, you know, the past 3 to 6 months. And then in this moon cycle, you basically couldn't drag me out of bed. I was exhausted and depleted and just feeling so tender, which is me, actually, I'm describing myself. So yes, what it did was I started learning about the moon phases and the different energy that she so naturally has available for us. And I started seeing where I could relate to that. And I'm going to say, you're always right. Your experience is always right. You could follow the moon phase and say, you know, like that disseminating moon, I know, Jillian, like you want to tuck yourself in with a blankie and not do anything or go anywhere. But like, I'm feeling kind of pretty good during that phase. Excellent. You're always right. So I want you to learn how to trust yourself in the process of this uncovery. And just realize that these energies are naturally available to you to tap into so that you can use them as a measuring tool. Mm-hmm. This isn't a yes or no, right or wrong. You're either in line with the moon or you're not. She's there with this certain energy during her different phases to gift to you so you can utilize it as a measuring stick, a natural measuring stick to help you navigate where you are. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just on a practical level, when you say track the moon, I'm assuming you mean with an app, because I have an app that does track the cycle of the moon just because I love, it's such a beautiful, it's just called the moon and it's so beautiful. And it shows like when it's a full moon, it's this like bright globe in your app and it tells you when it's waxing and waning. It's just, thank God for technology, right? Because like little things that are so accessible. Yeah. But so is that
you
how-
track it. You can track it anywhere. I literally, when I first started, I had a piece of paper. I would Google what moon phase we were in. I would write down moon phase, how I'm feeling. And I kept it super simple because I wanted it to be something that, I mean, I work on social media. I consider social media my office. So like at the end of the day, I don't want to be looking at my phone very much. And that may be true for some people. So I liked actually writing it out. And I think there's something really sacred about putting pen to paper too. However, if you are like total apps person, excellent. Like you do you, boo. Utilize whatever tool feels good to you. And that's the point. I mean, that's the point to everything is that it feels good and it feels supportive. So, but keep it super, 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 super simple so that you'll actually do it. Mm-hmm. And
you are speaking my language.
I'm glad.
Because I'm the kind of person who's like, I'm going to buy this journal and I'm going to write my 3 gratitude statements and I'm going to write a prayer to God and I'm going to track the moon. And like 1.5 days in, I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah. You're like, yeah, that was great. And you know what? That is beautiful. And if that is your jam, my friends listening to this, please do that. And also for the rest of us, keep it simple because it gets to be really exciting and it gets to be really supportive if you set it up to be, right? Mm. If you're going to go into this thinking like you're going to literally change your life by, you know, writing out 5 pages of how you're feeling because the moon is in this point in the sky in this zodiac sign and like, no, that's too much right away, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, let's just keep it simple for yourself.
Yeah. Okay. So then bringing this back to your story, once you became, so you started tracking, you were writing it down. What did you learn in the process of noticing how you like, yeah, I guess what's like the takeaway? What does this bring into your life by being aware and cognizant of where the moon is and how you're feeling and what started to shift?
Great question. So a couple of things. I know that I am on fire. Like, and I'm a generator. I'm a 3 Enneagram. Like, give me a task. Like, I'm like, here we go, girls. Right. Like this is me. And I also now know, because as a generator, if you're not doing, you feel like you're dying. And also you will die if you don't ever stop doing. Right. So like we get joy from like, go, go, going. However, working with the moon and the waning phases of her cycle allowed for me to have a new level of endurance with my going and my waxing and my doing and my performing than I ever had before. And it gave me a new level of conviction too. So I think that it just allowed for me to support myself immediately better. But I was starting to say, I am on flipping fire during the quarter moons. Like I am normally like a cannon shot right out, like let's go. I'm like basically surfing on top of the cannon shooting across the galaxy, like, and I know this now because I tracked it. I also know that the disseminating moon phase, and if you like know, like follow me anywhere, like I'm pretty sure you know this about me, the disseminating moon phase is, it's the phase right after the full moon. Naturally speaking, it's a phase where we require a lot more nourishment, a lot more nurturing, a lot more tender, loving care. And sisters, I am basically a walking human puddle during those 3-ish days. It's the time where I naturally feel most tender. And so what I've done is I schedule my life around it. I don't schedule, a lot of outgoing.
You might not do like a podcast like this. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't be doing a podcast during that time.
Yeah, and I
also, like, I won't schedule social events. Like, my kiddos, and I mean, hashtag pandemic, like, that's brought a whole different element into the game. But, like, in normal everyday living, I, you know, it's the best time to cuddle up with my kids and watch a movie and do, maybe for work, do some behind the scenes stuff, if anything at all, right? So I know this of myself now. And so in the past, I would shame myself, because in the past, I would get to the disseminating moon not knowing what was going on and literally spending those 3 days shaming myself for not doing the work and maybe getting some busy work done. But busy work never feels good, because you're basically running off fumes and you're not... there's no inspiration in the work that you're doing. So I would utilize the disseminating moon to continue tear myself down. Now I utilize it to build myself back up and to nurture myself so that when the third quarter moon gets here, girlfriend's ready to go again. Like, and I'm like legit all the way through my physical body. I exercise according to the moon. Like, there's a lot that you can do. And the point of tracking is so that you can proactively support yourself in the future.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'm really curious, do you tend to tie this sort of like tracking with menstrual cycles?
Yeah, you can. So I said, for me and my experience before I had a period, I would track where the moon was and how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. Now, a listener may be coming at this from another point of view, like, oh, I've got a 28 day cycle down pat. Now what do I do? Mm-hmm. So now it's kind of like, you get to utilize both the tools, both the cycles, and see where they complement each other, where they blend naturally together. Back in the day, like bazillions of years ago, women would all bleed on the new moon together. And this has been the inspiration for so much of my work now. They would
wait, hold on. Pause. You mean like that's historically documented, that back in the day, all women bled on the new moon?
I mean, I'm sure like not every single woman, but like of the masses, women would bleed together. There's this incredible book called The Red Tent.
Okay, so is this what a red tent event is? Oh.
Yeah. So they would bleed together on the new moon. And the new moon is the time of planting seeds of intention for what you want to come to you. So literally, like, women are releasing their seeds at this time. They would go into a tent. It would be sisterhood at its finest. It would be ritual and ceremony, which we can go there in the conversation next, because that has just amplified cyclicality for me, if you ladies want to. But but the point of it was so that they could sync their cycle with what Mama Moon has naturally available to you. So if you have a period, you can do this too. Track how you're feeling. Know that your hormones are leading the way here, where my hormones were not leading the way for me originally, right? Yeah. So your hormones and the way your body ticks is leading the way here. But wouldn't it be really interesting to see how on certain days of your period, the moon is in certain parts, in certain spots in the sky?
So what I have noticed, so this is speaking deeply to me, because funny enough, we were supposed to record yesterday and then Kurt, like, all these events came, we couldn't do it, which was great for me because like hormonally, I was just feeling totally off. And so this was kind of like a blessing. And I've talked before on podcasts about how I have like hormonal issues and my period can be very intense. So I have been very closely tracking, like, everything that you said about cyclical living with the moon is something that I relate to very much with my period. Like, I also benefit from knowing where I am because I really can support my life in that way. So it seems like now I can use this, like, the cycle of the moon to fold, kind of like fold that in as like another tool.
Yeah. Yes.
But there was something else I was going to say about that. And oh, wait, I have noticed that I tend to get my period, I don't know, on the full moon almost like every month.
Yeah, that's super, super duper common. And you'll actually see that a lot. And I get that question a lot. Like, wait a minute, am I backwards? Like, is there something wrong with me? Where?
Oh,
like,
I've never thought that. I've been like, oh my God, I must be a full on witch. That's what I think.
You're welcome. Congratulations. But, and that's amazing. So the cool part about it is back in the red tent days, when there were women who bled on the full moon, and I've heard this I haven't read documented anywhere, but I just like the energy and the supportive feeling of this. The women who didn't have their period or who bled on the opposite end of the cycle would tend to those women, and they would kind of be the runners for them, and then vice versa. So they would really support each other. I know, isn't it just fantastic? I'm obsessed.
It just makes me sad because I want that way of life. Now.
Oh, I create, and that's what I do. It's quite literally what I do in my business. It's fantastic. It's amazing. It's life-changing because this is how we were meant to live, ladies, is tapping into these cycles, asking these deeper questions of like, wait a minute, I get my period here and the moon is here, and not like, oh, nuts, my period showed up and I have to wear a bathing suit tomorrow, right? Like we're just transcending beyond the physical implication of our period and wishing it away or finding it as an annoyance, and really anointing ourselves with this deep knowing that our cycle is such a blessing because it so deeply connects us to nature, because everything is cyclical. A year is cyclical. The seasons are cyclical. The start
is cyclical. Life and birth, all of it's cyclical.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's, it's just so powerful. So, you with the periods on the full moon, like you're doing it. And the interesting, you're doing it. It's a silly thing to say, but like you're participating with it in such a beautiful way, because now at the full moon, it's a time of release and of celebration. And so if you have a period on the new moon, come the full moon, you're starting to feel ready to go inward. If you get your period on the full moon, you're utilizing that time of release and celebration to come outward and to start utilizing that energy to support the other half of the spectrum. And we need all of it, right? Yeah. Like we need all of us showing up in our magic. And if we have that level of awareness of what's going on for ourselves, I really believe we can participate and support the collective consciousness, because we're taking care of our own cycle. We're taking care of our own garden, so to speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I think about this all the time, just as sort of like more community living in, not even in relation to the menstrual cycle, though my partner has said, he's been like, oh, if men had periods, like we would have a 3-week work month. Like if the patriarchy had periods, like our whole society would be fucking different. I mean, you could also say the same thing of birth. If men gave birth, like, we would live in a
Oh no, world. We could certainly have a conversation about patriarchy and all of that. And that's come up even more so as I've learned about the Sabbats that we were talking about before before we pressed record, and just the way that, a woman who is tuned into her cycle and is able to utilize that to support herself in the future and to launch in the big moments when she's ready to go and to recuperate in those moments that she's needing rest, like she's in her power, she's in her truth, she's honoring her truth. And women in their power was a very, very scary thing for a lot of time to a lot of people, and continues to be. But I truly feel deep, deep within me that is starting to shift, and more of us are waking up to that. That's just not okay anymore. Like that's not a sandbox I'm willing to play in anymore. And like, we must go back to honoring what is ancient and divinely ours in order to move forward.
This reminds me of one of our first podcast guests, Zaylee Kane, is an old friend of mine, and we had a phone call the other day, and she was talking about exactly this, this idea of giving ourselves access to this ancient wisdom, right? And like bringing into this moment. And so this was actually one of the questions, one of the things I was most excited to hear from you about, because it's something I've wanted to learn about for a long time. So, and you mentioned it just now, which is the Sabbat and the way that, like, first of all, if you could just kind of explain what that is for people, and then how that shows up for you in your life, how that's become like what feels like kind of a guiding, energy or whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I love the word guide too. And that came up as we were talking about the moon cycle, like why bother utilizing and tapping into natural cyclicality, right? Like, kind of, like what's the point? It's because it's a guide. They're guideposts to help us navigate what is naturally available innately of us and calling to us. Because if we get really honest with ourselves, there is a deep, deep calling from within asking us as women to stand in our power and to tap back into what's naturally available. And the Sabbats are, there are 8 Sabbats throughout the Wheel of the Year. So the Wheel of the Year is like the overarching umbrella. And the Sabbats are the 8 divine feminine holidays and festivals that mark seasonal change throughout the Wheel of the Year. And the Wheel of the Year is so poignantly named because just because one year ends doesn't mean we're done, right? Like, doesn't mean like, okay, all creation is just done now. We naturally continue along as the wheel turns, and each season naturally glides into the next. And so on the Wheel of the Year, there are 8 Sabbats, and they mark those basically like cross quarter marks along the Wheel of the Year. So you've heard of the spring equinox, the summer solstice, the fall equinox, and the winter solstice. Those are the bigger Sabbats, and they mark the actual turning point of the seasons, like actual seasonal change. And then in the middle of each of those is another Sabbat that marks that midway point. And what learning about the Sabbats has done for me as I've continued my own journey with understanding my cyclicality and just like witnessing the freaking magic that is Mother Nature, because nobody has to tell her to do this stuff. It's happening, right? Yeah. It's kind of, I joke all the time, like the moon never decides ever that she's just going to stay full for one whole cycle long this time. She's not participating in the phases. She's just staying full. Like that doesn't happen because it goes against what's natural and the ebbing and flow of what's available.
And so, she also doesn't have to effort, right? The moon's not out there being like, if I really, really, really try hard, maybe this time I'll be a bright full moon.
Right? She doesn't have to ask permission. She doesn't have to, right? And she doesn't get mad if like the clouds are blocking the way in some parts of the world, right? Like she's doing it anyway. We could be doing anything down here and she's still doing her thing. Just like, you know, I live in Maine. So right now we get all the 4 seasons. And right now we are seeing, I mean, we just stepped into spring. We just celebrated Ostara, which is the spring equinox Sabbat. And what you read about is, you know, the little buds are starting to make their way up. Like we can see the little green coming out of the still frozen in some places ground, but nature knows what she's doing. And so for me, when I discovered the Sabbats, I felt like I was handed the keys to like the divine feminine witchy kingdom. Like I was just so excited because it did 2 things. It helped for me to participate in the seasons even more intimately and really explore and experience the abundance that's available in each and every season. Yes, winter, even you. But also it connected me to the women of our ancestral past who naturally participated with these festivals and these celebrations and these rituals, because that was how they best honored the earth and all the abundance that she gave them and themselves. So celebrating the Sabbats has like that twofold, like double win for me, is it gives me that guiding post to help me connect more deeply with the seasons themselves. But it actually like has unleashed this deep connection that we have within our, like the wisest version of ourselves to all of womanhood, to all of sisterhood. It's amazing. I just love it so much.
Yeah. And I just want to add to that, because I think as someone who is very connected to the seasonal change, like my partner has just noted once again how deeply affected I am by weather and the change of seasons. So I just feel them. I think there's a physicality to it too. It's like it all kind of ties together in what you're saying, like being connected with the phases of the moon, being connected with the seasons also means being connected to your body. Like the more I'm connected to the earth and what is happening weather-wise, nature-wise, it's a portal into what is happening in my own damn self. Like they're not disconnected. And I want to add that because I think that's what's so powerful about it. It's not like, oh, I'm observing this thing outside that's happening. It's giving me insight to what's happening inside. And so I feel like, so it's like a Yeah, it's like this, I don't want to sound like overly overly hyperbolic, but I feel like there is something profound in living this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the knowing of the oneness. Like, we are not separate from Mother Earth. We are actually a human representation of her, right? Like, we all have that same energetic stardust within each and every single one of us. And we could get all metaphysical up in here, but we can't.
You're a good place for that.
Yeah, you're in good company. Yeah.
We came from this oneness, and we still have that deep connection to it. We're not separate. In fact, when we start honoring that, both externally, we get to honor it internally as well. Or perhaps honoring it internally helps you to honor it externally even more. So one thing that I have noticed is, I actually asked a whole bunch of women. It was like a free challenge or something like that, a Trust Your Intuition challenge online a few months ago. And I asked women, like, okay, so what is your experience with winter? And every single one of them commented on how harsh it felt, how raw it felt, how much it hurt. And I said, isn't it interesting that all of this whole conversation, when we're leading up into winter, you're basically bracing yourself for impact, rather than allowing winter to be this soothing pillow that can hold you so that you can go inward and you can rest. Because, right, like, the trees look awfully dead above the surface in winter, but what they're really doing is they're soaking in all the nutrients underneath the ground. And that's what we're asked to do in winter. Again, really difficult in the externally validating world that we're trying to seek praise from and we're trying to do all the things for.
And capitalism demands a certain kind of, like, has its constant churn of extraction.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Constant output. It's not just spring. Right. It's like you're constantly got to be doing. Yeah.
That's right. And we try to skip completely over winter. And so what we do is we brace ourselves for impact because we don't want to go inwards. And so we try to, like, wear this armor because it's going to suck. So we've got to suck it up and work even harder. Like, that's what we've programmed ourselves to believe. And then we wonder, come spring, when, like, everything's starting to bud again, why we want to, like, fall face first into the mud, because we're exhausted from exerting even more energy during a time where our natural intuitive inclination is to rest and to rejuvenate and to let our roots take in the nourishment, right? It's not about what's going on up here. It's about what's going on under here. And nature knows that. The moon knows that in different parts of her phases. And I think we as women are really starting to sink into the concept of that. And it feels scary because nobody's applauding you when you are going inward, but that's where all inspiration comes from, right? You can't plant seeds in a field that you're already working. You need that white space. You need that season to let yourself rejuvenate and, like, get your bearings for where you want to go next.
It's interesting because I'm also thinking, I've shared on the podcast quite a bit that I just get slammed emotionally by winter. And I know it. And then every year spring comes and I'm like, I'm a new person. And I, like, realize, like, oh, maybe some of the, like, kind of heaviness I've been feeling is, like, because the winter. And something that's dawning on me now is actually this idea that perhaps one layer of that is that I do slow down and then I have a ton of shame about it, right? Like, I can't help but slow down, right? Like, I'm not, like, I don't grind on all cylinders. I, like, you know,
I mean, you literally can't, your body is like,
yeah. Like, I just want to sleep slow down
and just, like, drink, like, soups and, like, lie in blankets.
Right. And watch, like, movies with my kids. And so I do that, right. Because I think I actually do live deeply enough with my intuition that, like, that wins out, but then I have a ton of shame for doing that. Right. Yeah. Because, like, oh, like, January was a really slow month in my business. And so, like, now I have to, like, figure out how to make it up in February. And it's, like, creates this whole, like, narrative that the slowing down is shameful. And I'm just wondering now how much of my hatred of winter, because that's really what it feels like, is actually just this, like, like cruelty that I send towards myself for actually just slowing down.
It's a fear of you shaming yourself. And so like with my coaching hat on, I'm like, okay, why are you resisting feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that's what we do when we want to keep perpetuating that go, go, go. It's because we're actually resisting sitting down with our emotions. We're resisting mm-hmm. getting intimate with ourselves and asking and taking a state of the state and asking ourselves what's coming up. So why are we resisting that? And then what's underneath the shame? Right. Yeah. It's kind of like when you shame, you know, you're going to do it, right? Like that's the easy button. It's like when people say, I don't know, like, what do you want to do? I don't know. It's like their easy button. It's like the get out of jail free card. They said, I don't know. So they responded to you, but they don't have to think deeper. They don't have to keep going.
Oh,
so,
you've been hanging out with my 4-year-old lately. this new answer to everything.
Yeah, I have one of those too. So, but it's interesting. Watch adults do it though. I don't know. And so they think that they literally are let off the hook. And what Winter won't do and what I won't do right in this moment, Kylie, is let you sit in that like shame spiral. Because what's the shame really about? And why... where does it come from that you won't let yourself get into feeling your emotions? Like what really is under the surface? Like, what are you afraid of there, which is causing the resistance? Mm-hmm. And what if we surrendered into Winter? What if we said, okay, this time around, I'm really resting for 3 months. I'm going to rest and I'm going to feel, bring it. Right. And your ego is going to try to take you down in every single way possible. And the easy place for the ego to go is you're so lazy. What's the matter with you? Your business is tanking, all of these things. And none of it's actually true.
Yeah.
But it's an unwillingness to go underneath there and to utilize Winter for what it's really here for.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing you also talk about is just like the backlash of it though. It's kind of like that whole thing when we trust our intuition, Kylie, we've talked about this before. You trust your intuition and it feels good in the moment, but then of course you follow your intuition. And then like the day after you'll be like the hangover of like, oh no. Like, what did I just do? And I think sometimes it's about managing like the hangover.
Yeah. Well, and I say a lot, your intuition can be pretty inconvenient. Right. Like there are times where following your, like, you know what you got to do. I have a biggie that happened to me just last year with that. Like, I knew what I had to do. And it sucked for my human. Like, she did not want to do it because it would require disappointing people. It would require having to redo a lot of what had already been built, but had been built on this false foundation that I simply couldn't do anymore, but this was going to be really painful to tear down, right? So our intuition isn't always convenient. And it's allowing for us to know that that's okay and know that that's still part of the game. And, you know, that hangover that comes afterwards, that gets to be a time that you just really wrap yourself up in massive layers of self-love and self-honoring and cheering yourself on for doing the hard thing, even though it was terrible to the human because your soul required that of you.
Yeah. It's interesting because I'm also thinking without, you know, to making this too much about myself, I'm also realizing how much, you know, the ego is tricky, right? So I can say like, okay, Winter is for slowing down and we're going to make cookies and we're going to like get cozy. And then the ego comes back in and is like, great, but you're also going to be just as productive as you are when you're not slowing down, right? Like you can do your slow down as long as you continue to output the same.
Oh, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sneaky motherfucker.
Well, Kylie, that ties into the conversation of bravery for you to stand up to the ego and be like, no, actually it doesn't. And guess what? If I actually rested and allowed January and February and planned for January and February to be a little bit less of income producing months, guess what? I'm going to flip and slay it in March and April. Yeah. Like, watch out, right?
Because
we forget that. We forget that rest actually leads to revitalization.
Right.
And you'll actually be more productive in those go modes. Because you know what? Honestly, we are half-assing our go times, our drive times, our waxing times, because we don't actually allow ourselves to wane.
Right. Well, go ahead.
I think it's interesting because there's also part of us that perhaps that's another layer. I just got hit with such a bolt of inspiration and the words are coming, but it's like, I've been thinking a lot lately and working with a lot of my clients around the ways that we diminish our own power, right? The way, like, the fear of success, right? And like the way in which it's like, oh, like, I'm afraid of failing, but when you actually look at it, what you're afraid of is succeeding, right? And that, like, being afraid of actually like holding your own power consistently. And so refusing to rest is actually a way of intentionally sabotaging yourself, because then you have less to show up with, and then you can't fly as high as you're actually capable of flying. So it's actually a way of managing your success and keeping it moderate.
Yeah. Boom, 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 boom. I would actually also say, I feel like the key word that you used, Jillian, earlier, which I think is very important for someone like me, Capricorn, but I think it applies to Kylie too. It's like planning for your rest in advance, because then it gets such a small thing, but it makes all the difference in the world. Like, if you already preemptively know you're not going to make money in your business in January, February, and you give yourself full permission, or that it's like, you already just like, it's like, it's a non-issue because you've already like set that time out, which is the same thing you were saying, Jillian, about your, what were you talking about? Oh yeah, your, I forgot which moon phase it was, but like you have a specific time where you will just let yourself chill. And that's the way that I am with my period. Like, I will take a period retreat. It's already pre put into my like life. Yeah. So it kind of takes out that anxiety because I'm expecting it. And for me, someone who has, you know, it is a way of controlling, but I do feel more safe when I like can expect it. And that
totally.
I think
and really helpful. I love that point. And let's bring in the point that we made earlier in the conversation, that what if we said, okay, I'm going to plan for, we'll just stick with the business theme because we could go into any area of life, but I'm going to plan for my business to not be as productive in these months. Okay, universe, dazzle me. Right? Yeah, I'm going to create the space. I am actually planning. I am 100% committed to resting. And I would still love for the money to roll in and the clients to show up. So I'm going to actually just like turn the keys over to you, universe. I'm planning for this for me. So anything that comes above baseline is a flipping bonus. And it's a miracle. And it is another opportunity for the universe to prove just how limitless it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love
it. One point I wanted to make too, to support the planning aspect of you, I wish I could remember where I read this or where I heard this. I learned this many moon ago, but it's the concept of being 100% committed over 99% committed. And so we as humans think like, oh, well, if I'm 99% committed, I give myself a little bit of wiggle room. But what that 1% of wiggle room does is it distracts us, and we actually spend more time in that 1% wondering, oh, is this going to be the time that I bail on it? Is this going to be the time that I don't stick to it? Than if we were just 100% committed. So for the planners of the world, if you can go into it and say, I am 100% committed to not working, or to going and playing with my kids every day, or to, you know, learning how to do this hobby, I'm 100% committed to it, then you don't waste your time with wondering if today is going to be the day that you actually work a little bit, even though you said you work most of the time, right? If you say, all right, I'm going to take most of the time off, guess what's going to happen? You're going to end up working all of the time because you don't have that boundary with yourself. And that wiggle room takes so much energy.
Oh my gosh. Hi. You've got my fucking number. Actually 5 months ago, I made a change to my client schedules after every 3 weeks, there's an integration week, right? Cause it's like deep healing. And I think we all can use the integration. I'm on the margins of this, right? Like I'm like paying attention, you know? And every time I get to that week, I just fucking fill it. I just find things to fill it with again and again and again. And they're meaningful things, right? It's like, extra one-on-one sessions or meetings or collaboration ideas. And all of a sudden it's the weekend. I'm like, oh, I don't have any of that white space that I had intentionally like built my whole business around creating. And it's that, you're right. It's that 1%. It's living in that 1%, you know?
Yeah. Yay. So now the good news is you get to change that.
Yeah.
Cause you get to choose. You get to choose to recalibrate to the cyclical way that feels most supportive of you.
So thank you very much for coming on our podcast and being my personal coach.
Welcome.
This is really working out for me, Eva. I can give you a turn.
I'm sure there's something in there for me. Okay, wait. So can we go back to...
Can I actually ask you a question? Do you feel like, Eva, you really honor your like week? You're like, when you're like, this is my week that I, you know, expect to be menstruating. And so I know I'm going to like be quiet and calm. Like, do you feel like you honor that? Or do you feel like it ends up getting filled?
Oh, I fucking honor the fuck out of it. But I will tell you why. Because, and sometimes I'm like, this is a blessing, you know, when you try and take the lesson out of things, is that I physically, like, I have physical limitations. So it's like, my body is like, I can't even tell you how it feels. It's mental and it's physical, it's emotional. So like, I just literally, it's like a season change. And so sometimes I feel like I couldn't even do something if I wanted to, like, I just like, I'm just like, my whole body's like, nope, it just needs to like rest. And so, so I feel like it's a little bit different because there are situations, there are circumstances there that feel like it just forces me into that situation, but I think it's also very helpful. And, I don't know, somewhere along the lines, I became less of a doer. I don't even know how. I mean, this is a whole nother topic, but I used to be, you know, I think we are all have similar stories here. Go, 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 do. And I don't get me wrong. I mean, Adam, my partner, would tell you that he would probably call me a workaholic, but I feel like I've really enjoyed living a much more chill life. And so I think I have, and so that's been pretty important to me.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Okay. But I wanted to go back and talk about Sabbath. Well, Kylie, did you get all your questions answered? Because I feel like there's so much more to...
It's your turn. I've asked a lot of questions.
Well, I think I want to know, so how do you... What's the role of Sabbath in your life now, Jillian?
Okay, so I celebrate them. I teach them. So I have this coaching program that is all... It's called the True You Tent. Like, I literally base it around that feeling of sisterhood and connection. And I coach in it and I support in it. And one of the foundational pieces in it is I actually teach about the Sabbaths to the women in there to just raise awareness about them. Because I remember when I first stumbled upon the word Sabbath, I was like, what even is that? Like, it was a completely foreign word and foreign concept to me. And so as I started learning about it myself and actually like participating in some of the ritual, I'm like, this must be taught. Like, this needs to be incorporated into our lives as women, as cyclical beings. And so I find such joy out of actually teaching about it. So I love geeking out and nerding out and just like learning about them in all the different ways, shapes, and forms. And then having my own experience with them and gifting it back to, I mean, social media at large, because I just talk about it with my free content through posts and my email list and stuff like that. So I'm just talking about it everywhere and just teaching about it. And then specifically with my soul sisters in my coaching program, I go really deep with it, but then I practice them too. And so the cool thing is with the Sabbaths, as they happen every 8-ish weeks or so, a little bit less than that, 7-ish weeks. There's always something to celebrate, and there's always the next step to look forward to. And you can talk about the Sabbaths in a number of different ways. When they first, and they show up in a number of different cultures, like from different histories and different regions too. And they were all, but the underlying thread was celebrated similarly everywhere. But you can talk about the Sabbaths in an agricultural sense, and you can make it very much about working the land and planting the seeds. And then three of the Sabbaths are about harvesting. And then there's the Sabbaths that are celebrating the promise that we will plant again. So it's very agricultural in terms of the year experience with the seasons. And then you can get into the astrology and look at where the zodiacs are during which Sabbaths. And with that comes a lot of the mythology as well. So there's a lot of story about how it's actually the rise of the goddess through the triple goddess, through maiden, mother, crone, and then the rise of the god from the sun, literally. So on Yule, which is the winter solstice, is when the sun is born, S-U-N. But then in terms of mythology, it's the god sun is born, and then we watch him grow throughout the wheel of the year, and he dies at Samhain, which is Halloween, and the crone mourns him. So it's this beautiful, and throughout the year, you follow the love story, essentially, of the god and the goddess as they meet and they fall in love and they conceive and they get married and then they have these babies and then they grow old and then they die, but remembering that once energy is created, it can't be destroyed. So that death actually brings us into the next layer of life. So it's very symbolic. We can talk about birth and death throughout it all. And just the experience of being pregnant too is a big part of it. So you know, so many different ways, but it's just so cool because it helps you to understand the deeper meaning of life and getting to sink into the seasons with what's going on in life. So May 1st is Beltane. And this is a season of, I mean, literally it's the Sabbat about sex and pleasure and fun and lighting the Beltane fires and going out into the woods, and ladies weren't coming back without something in their belly, right? Like, so this was a big, big traditional celebration many, many, many years ago. And, but the representation of that is look at the earth on May 1st, right? Super fertile with all that is ready. The flowers are just starting to bloom. Love is in the air, right? Like, so it's just so, the stories and the ritual and even the food and the celebration, it's so cool because it's representative of what's going on in the earth and what's going on within each and every one of us. So that was a long soliloquy that I'm sure maybe like elicited many questions, or you're just blown away, but how are we doing?
I mean, mostly I'm just like, holy shit, there's like so much here to learn. Cause I think I am drawn to this and I'm fascinated, but all of this is new to me as well. Like, I don't know anything about this. And there's so much, I think there's so much to be learned in mythology. But that sounds like, oh, that could be like its own podcast. Like, do you have any books that you would recommend that you to start learning about this?
Yes, like they're all around me. I love the book Witch by Lisa Lister. It's not only about the Sabbats, but Lisa Lister is an incredible author who does a lot of work. She's got a book called Code Red. Like, she does a lot of work with the woman cycle. And so everything that we've been talking about here today, you can find in that book. And she talks about what being a witch really means. And for me, it's a woman who works with cyclicality and knows her power and is able to harness that power and kind of figure out where she belongs and how she can make the biggest difference possible for her in this time, space, and reality that she's chosen. And we won't go far down the patriarchy path with this, but the comment is, you know, we were burned for having these powers, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were forced to turn against each other, which is why I think collaborative, beautiful conversations like the ones that you ladies have and are creating here, this is, I mean, it's not only just like fascinating information, providing us a really cool connection opportunity to meet each other and realize like how amazing we all are and for the listeners, but we're actually healing generational wounds that were given to us because we were too powerful for some. So I love that book a lot for so many different reasons. Hang on, I have one right here. this is actually purposely placed over my power strip under my computer so that if my baby sneaks his way under there.
Brilliant.
But this one, I love the Sabbats, A Witch's Approach to Living the Old Ways by Edaine McCoy. This is a really, really good go-to as well. And I have a couple that I really just like reading because, like I said, there's so much to it. And like that one that I just said, the Sabbats book right there is more about the tradition and the festival and the celebration and the ceremony. And you know, the different goddesses it honors and things like that. Whereas I have another one that's all about the astrology of it. So you can go in so many different directions with celebrating it. But
yeah, to me, I feel like it's like opening guidebooks. up a can of worms here. It's just like,
Totally. Yeah. We could have like three podcasts breaking down the Sabbats, but it's so juicy and it's fun. And you know what, ladies, like, that's the point. And so many of us, we've gotten so serious as we've gotten in that go, 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 do, do, do mode. We had to grow up and get serious and figure it out. And we forgot to have fun. And so for me, the Sabbats bring in 8 additional days throughout the year that are naturally inclined toward fun and celebration and honoring the abundance that Mother Earth has available to us and the abundance of our own experience and how that links and ties into that eternal experience of the goddess.
So here's one of my questions for you on all of this, which is, I'm just really curious to hear how this shows up and plays out in your family life, because one of the things, you know, I've, you know, shared with listeners before, I grew up Catholic. Yeah, that's not my awesome. It's not my home anymore. Although I do have about 8 Virgin Mary statues in my house, but,
Mother Mary, she's on my spirit team for sure.
Oh yeah. No, she's like agent number one. So my kids are, like yours, are little. And it's one of the things that I find myself stretching for, right? Is like wanting to, like, I really want them to have a sense of the divine that's experiential. It's not their mom being like, God is everywhere, you know?
And God is this dude that's hanging out up there that's judging. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And like ritual, you know, look, Catholicism is really complicated, but man, we do ritual well, you know? And so I really still, like, I have this yearning for ritual in my life, for all that I had this like really, really amazing, beautiful spiritual, you know, inner world. And every time I read about the Sabbats or hear about them, I'm like, this feels like it could fill that, like it could, you know, scratch that itch. And so I'm just really curious to hear how it shows up in your family life.
Yeah. Well, thank you. What a beautiful question. I'm honored to answer it. And to that point, I'm going to tie up the loose end from the conversation about the moon cycles that I did get a natural period after sinking in with the moon cycles.
Oh, I was wondering about that.
I thought that was the end of the miracle. And it actually showed up on 8/8, which is the day the Lionsgate portal opens. Full on miracle, right? And then the following July, my period never got to 28 days, but it was getting closer and closer together every time it came, which was exciting because when you go 14 years without a natural period, the fact that it shows up after doing that work, like it's full on.
Yeah, that's huge. Wow.
So I thought that was the end of the miracle. And then on a lovely morning, July 2nd, 2019, I peed on a stick, and for the first time, because I never had to, the other two were IUI, so I never peed on a stick. Like it was internal ultrasounds, it was blood work, but I peed on a stick and it was positive. And my baby Nathan was conceived naturally. I mean, they're all conceived naturally and they are all conceived in their own divine and beautiful way. But yeah, so we have 3 boys. So Kylie, going into your question of how do I incorporate that, it's given me a beautiful tool, like almost like a beautiful guidebook to start infusing more of what I not only believe, but like feel deeply within me connected to on a spiritual level. So same thing, I was raised Catholic and I actually am so grateful because there's so much that I took out of how connected I felt to what was the religion for me, but now I know was that deeper connection to spirituality. Like now that I have had the experience of asking if I actually believe in some of the things or asking if things actually make sense to me rather than just kind of saying, oh yeah, I'll go along with that. Right. And there's zero judgment for people in any religion. I mean, I hope that you find something that you can connect into and honor and love and represents that divine source of love for you. So if it is Catholicism, whatever it is, you do you, boo. For me, that wasn't all it, but I took bits and pieces out of it. And it's really helped me to stand on a more spiritually based and deeply knowing and willing to question and learn answers that feel good for me ground. And so through this uncovery time of learning about the Sabbats and connecting into words like witch that I feel deep resonance with, like, oh, that's actually me. I read this post on Instagram around Halloween and it cracked me wide open. And I looked at my husband and I had, like, tears, and it said something to the effect of, it wasn't witches they burned, it was women. And like, I read that and I looked at him, I was like, it was me that they burned for believing some of the things that I believe and practicing some of the things that I practice by literally just loving the earth and finding connection there. So all of this has led me to have this deep conviction in myself that I want my husband's on board and all of it. Like, there's deep honoring and reverence for God, goddess, universe in our house. Like, we utilize all the terms for it. And there's also the constant conversation of, this is what I believe, because over time I've asked a lot of questions and I've done a lot of learning, and I'm going to teach you this, and you get to decide what you believe and what feels really connective for you. And so what I do is I try to pick a family-friendly ritual at each Sabbath that I can do with all my boys. So for instance, at Yule, which is the winter solstice, it's right before Christmas, I talk about how in the days and in the celebration of the divine feminine, this is the day where the goddess births the sun god, and we light a Yule log and we just bring the goddess more into it, and we bring nature more into it. And I say, remember boys, like, the sun is going to start coming out later, and that's representative by the fire in the Yule log. Ostara is another good one too, because Ostara is the spring equinox and Easter is so close to it. And so there's a lot of ritual that Easter and the Catholic religion borrowed from the Ostara Sabbath. And so there was one really cute one about we wrote our wishes on an egg, and we planted the eggs in the ground. And that was representative of the egg is made up of everything that the egg needs is already inside it. The yolk represents the god, the white represents the goddess. And when we plant our wishes into the ground, we connect with Mother Nature and we let her perform her magic and bring it into fruition. And so I try to do those little things so that they find fun in all of it, and they get a broader scope of the eternal source of love in all the ways that we as humans personify it. Again, quite a soliloquy, but I'm like, I could give you examples from everything, but it just feels really important to me. Feels really important to me to help incorporate them into this practice and learning that I'm always constantly doing as well, and just giving them the opportunity to experience the full spectrum of it.
Yeah.
I love that so much. There's something, I don't know. There's something, the connection to the earth, the ritual. And I will say that, like, even as someone, it's making me think back to my own childhood. Like, my family, so like my grandparents are Buddhist. And so whenever I would go back to Taiwan, they had an altar in their house for the ancestors. And we would always break out the incense and like, bye, which is like, I don't know what to call it in English. Like, I guess you're praying to your gods and your ancestors. Like, I didn't really understand. I kind of got the concept of what was going on when I was younger, but also it was just like, oh, there's food and it's festive and like, whatever. Yeah. It's like what my family's doing. That was fun then, but now I have an extra sense of reverence for it because I remembered it from my childhood. And so we still do it now when I go back to Taiwan, but it's just something that's been in my lineage and like tradition. You know, at certain times of year, and it conjures up this special feeling of like, oh, I remember I've been doing this since I was a kid. I don't know. Those things are cool. Like ritual in that kind of way is fun. But, and then I think back like, oh, it would have been cool also. I mean, I'm very grateful for my family rituals, but then I was like, it would have been cool to do more earthbound things. Like that would have been fun. Yeah.
And I think, you know, like this is a practice that we've really just begun over the past year as a family. And so it is going to be cool to see which pieces of it really stick for my boys and which they start to feel excited about. And And to get to add even more context as they get older and can understand even more to it. You know, they're 7, 4, and 1 right now. And so especially speaking in a way that both my 7-year-old and my 4-year-old can understand is already kind of like a tightrope game. But it's just, you know, keeping it, here's what, if we keep it simple and playful and childish, that always wins. And I think that we forget that it doesn't have to be this big grandiose thing. The point is to feel good in the moment and to play. And sometimes in our overcomplicated adult lives, we feel like things need to be like, you know, these monumental experiences when like really the most playful, fun thing could be to go plant an egg in the ground, right? Yeah. Like, 'cause that's, it's the simplicity, but it also represents so much, right? Like the egg itself, you don't get much more simple than a round little egg, but thinking about like, I'm literally, it's the symbol of the universe in your hands, 'cause it's got everything that it needs inside of it. It's got the sun and the moon, the god and the goddess. Like it creates itself within this little shell. And then have you ladies ever heard the quote? It's one of my favorites. And I'm not going to get it exactly right, but it's something to the effect of, when an egg cracks from the outside, it's called broken. And when it, but when it breaks from an inside, it's called rebirth.
Like,
I know.
Cracks open from the inside is rebirth. That's cool.
Right?
Yeah. I love
both ways that shell's coming off. Yeah. But if we crack it from the outside, from force or from control or from accident, from being careless, we call it broken. But when we allow for that tiny little egg or yolk and white to do what it does in there after it's fertilized, it's called birth, and it can birth itself. It picks its little beak up and it actually creates the split of the egg. I mean, I mean, that is, speaking of miracles, right? Like that is just pure magic to me.
Yeah. I think it's going to be so interesting. I'm like, I am giddy at the idea of you, both of you raising children with these things in mind. 'Cause I think it makes my heart happy anyway. 'Cause I'm like this, I think, well, yeah, it makes, it normalizes these things. And then, you know, then they're going to be like 20 and 30 and they're going to be like, oh yeah, I like did these things as a kid.
Yeah. That's really my hope. Like I want, my goal is to like, how do I raise my kids so that they have access to the divine on their own terms? Mm-hmm. And so far, I think mostly it's fine because they're so little, but they're so little. And like my daughter is so connected to the divine. Like she's having full-on conversations with them all the time already. Totally. Like, you know, all of our grandparents are visiting her. Like she reports messages back. It's, like creating this shift from it being an inner experience to a shared experience is something I'm like, you know, I actually feel ready for in a way. Like I wanted it before, but now I feel like I have enough like mastery of my own kind of inner sense of that I'm like excited now to find the way to like really incorporate them. So I will be buying Sabbat, which is Approach to Living the Old Way, immediately after we end our interview.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited about these books.
Well, and the other point of that is, there's so much that we verbally say to kids, right, to teach or to guide or whatever. And like you just said, Kylie, like this is a collaborative action that you can take together. And so you can teach by way of that connection, by way of the celebration, and it gets naturally incorporated. You know, sometimes because I'm a words of affirmation person, like I just want to like tell all my kids all the things, but they only grasp a little bit of it. And then they're like, Mom, did you see what that dog did out there? You know, so it's like,
yes.
You don't have their attention for so long when you're just telling them, but when they're actually participating in action with you, it's like what Eva said, like there's that like bonus gift of they're going to remember, right? And those are the things that they actually remember. They don't remember what you tell them. They remember what you did with them.
If you think about like our own, like, why do I have a podcast on spirituality? It's not because someone talked to me about it. It's because like I experience it, right? Yeah, it's something that I experience. And so it becomes a guiding principle of my life. Like today my kids saw a garden snake in our front yard. And my son, my son's four, my daughter's two. I wasn't there, but my mom shared this whole story. My son touched it a couple of times. And my daughter was like squealing with delight every time. He was very gentle, but was like kind of like touching it. And then it would like wiggle. And my daughter kept saying it was jiggling. And like the whole story of them like laughing and my son being like so proud of himself for like not being afraid. And my daughter being like, Daddy, that's a snake. And like, that is just this like total awe at this like miraculous little snake that showed up in our yard, right? And like that is like that's magic. And then if I come in and I'm like
god and goddess, like listen to my like listen to what I had, like it's not, it's like,
so just you're trying so... to explain the whole thing to them, you take the magic right out of you, like sucking it out.
Yeah. So I'm excited for these rituals that feel playful, because that feels like it's bridging the gap a little bit, so that it can be like that snake moment, here's like, here's, you know, how it's connected to the world.
Well, and I'm just so going to add one more layer to magic, that the serpent actually represents cyclicality. So
I'm just... Ooh, there it is. Boom.
Leave that right there.
Also coming full circle here.
<Ba-dum-tsh>.
That's so interesting. The serpent represents cyclicality. That's good to know.
Yeah, because like, and you, the image is a serpent with its tail in its mouth and it never ends. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. And like the Kundalini serpent too, right? Like the whole concept of that, like enlightenment, like starting at the base of your spine and like moving up through your chakra system, like that, the serpent, it means divinity, cyclicality. Yeah. And many of religions have demonized the
right. yes. And I love snakes. Yeah. Jillian. Wait, yeah. Kylie, how are you feeling? How are we feeling, ladies?
I mean, I could actually have this conversation forever, but I feel like we've reached a natural pause.
All right. Shall we do our joy then?
I would love that.
All right.
Yeah.
So Jillian, what's one thing that's bringing you joy right now in your life?
I think just this, and you know, being able to talk about how simple it is to incorporate the Sabbats into my motherhood as well, right? Like, you know, it's being able to do our sacred work in the world and have the ability to live in a time, space, and reality where we can actually make businesses out of them and make an impact and really help other people and make money doing that. Like, that is just pure abundance. And also, like, being able to be a mom and like knowing my story and how like I was told that actually potentially couldn't happen, and now I am inviting my kids to plant eggs and learn about the goddess and tap into what I feel is love and is the eternal source of love, and getting to, you know, like live that legacy with them and create a future where this stuff is the norm because I'm participating in it with my kids now. Like, that just, oh, there's like nothing that brings me more joy than that. It's just absolute magic.
That's beautiful.
I love that. How about you, Eva? What's bringing you joy?
This week I'm going to share two things in the same theme. I wanted to share two movies that I watched. Actually, I think I probably watched these movies sometime in the past 2 months, probably when I was in my like resting phase. But one of them is a movie, I don't love the title, but the title is The 40-Year-Old Virgin, not Virgin, but 40-Year-Old Virgin. And the other one is called Sylvie's Love. And I recommend these movies because they are stories by Black people with Black people in it that has nothing to do with like Black suffering. It's just Black people living their normal damn lives, you know, dealing with like life stuff. It's not about like, you know what I mean? It's not like what the sob story or what it means to be a Black person in America and like what a crime and blah, 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 and these stereotypes. It's just like Sylvie's Love is this like story. It takes place like in the 50s, but it doesn't even, it's so beautiful. It's just about this like romance between two young people who, it's kind of like The Notebook, but not as cheesy and as Black people. And it takes place in the 50s and it's beautiful. And this other movie called 40-Year-Old Virgin is about this woman who, she's 40 and she's like turning 40 and like, and kind of like her rebirth at the year of 40. And it's hilarious. And so I just love watching movies like this because I think
they're probably not, I don't think there are enough of them. It's, it reminds me of like the renaissance of like Black television in like the 90s or like maybe 80s, when there was like the Cosby Show and there's that other show that I really loved about, I can't remember, but you know, like it was just, yeah, you know what I mean? It was just
people just living their lives.
People living their lives.
Yeah.
And I, that's just so refreshing for me. So if you need new movies to watch, everybody, because we're still in a pandemic, so you might be running low on things to watch, I would recommend those two movies. Those things brought me joy.
Oh, I am excited for both of those. So I wrote them down.
Yay. Kylie, what's something that's bringing you joy?
Okay, so I told myself that my joy was not going to be about my kids. But this is too good.
Yeah, I love that you share joy about your kids.
My mom is visiting, and my mom loves ABBA, like the band, you know, Dancing Queen ABBA.
Yeah.
And so she like plays it occasionally for the kids, you know.
That's super cute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And last my mom was here probably 3 weeks ago. And when Birdie started like asking for my mom to play ABBA and like started singing the song, and my mom like couldn't figure out what she was saying at first. So she was singing the song Super Trooper. But instead what she's saying is, two by pizza gonna get you.
That's adorable.
And she sings the whole song. So, then she does say Super Trooper, but she always sings the line, pizza gonna get you.
Yeah, she's just like adding in her own lyrics there.
Which is just like so great. And like, you know, sometimes when kids are little and they sing, like she does, she'll like sing like quietly and like kind of shy. But for some reason, this song, she just like full on belts it. So like yesterday, she's standing on the couch just being like, like just so joyful.
Seeing her version of ABBA, which is like really
singing
cute.
Super Trooper, Pizza Gonna Get You. And I was just like, this is the, and then I was like trying to like get my mom to come in with her camera to record it because it was like so great. And as soon as my mom showed up with her camera, she went, no.
I know, kids are so smart like that. Wow.
Yeah, she was just like, this is not for consumption.
I love that.
So that is bringing me joy.
Yeah, it's a beautiful joy.
Yeah.
All right.
One of these days, guys, something aside from my kids will bring me joy.
No, I love it that you share. Yeah, but also I think it'll, yeah. Well, actually soon it'll probably be like joy with your kids, not in a pandemic. It'll be like, oh, I took my kids to a restaurant or like something, you know?
It's very true.
It'll be like, well, it will be so Birdie's powerful first experience in a restaurant, but it'll be like, you know, something like that. Her it'll probably many, many firsts with Birdie out in the world.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Jillian, where can people find you and how can they work with you?
Oh my gosh. Come on over. Let's be friends. You can find me. So my website is jillianbolands.com. You can check out all of the things that I do and all the ways that I serve and support women in uncovering the truth of who they are. Also, I love hanging out on Instagram, and it's at Jillian Bolands. You can find me on Facebook too. Those are my main three that are the easiest to get in touch with me. But like, I love Insta stories, and I love just like living and showcasing and connecting and making really what I consider valuable content for people so that they can start to have this experience with something that I feel is really important. So come say that you listen to this podcast and that you love Eva and Kylie, and I will know exactly where you came from. And I would be honored to get to hang with any of your sacred souls that listen to this beautiful podcast.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. And your program, you're the true U tent, because I know someone who's taking your program and speaks very, very highly of it. Is that something that is people can sign up for now, or is that have like a?
Yep. Awesome. They you can sign up for that right on my website. Please learn all about it. I actually think that the sales page for that is quite good. I love it so much. And there is, so you can join. You can just join, and we get you going right away, and you get. So it's so much more than a coaching program, but you can join right away, or you can schedule a call with me and we can talk about it and get to know each other and just like, you know, talk about all of this, but how your life is yearning for it and talk about you specifically. So thanks for asking. That was really nice. And yeah, I mean, I just, it's literally the most powerful thing I have ever created. And it brings me such deep joy to know that this work is so important and it's healing. I mean, the ladies in there, one of them said the other day, like, this is the healing container she's been waiting for all of her life. Like women are saying things in that space that they've never been brave enough to say anywhere else before. They are working through triggers. They're celebrating beautiful moments. It's just really, really divine. And I'm just
really
grateful to call it mine and to call it ours. And it's just so fun. So thank you for asking about that.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. All right. Well, till the next time, Jillian, thank you so much for sharing your evening with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I just wish we could all do a slumber party now and just curl up in our little sleeping bags and lay under the moon and the stars together.